Imagine, billions of sea stars just wiped out by some mysterious disease.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's happening right now. Scientists are dealing with the sea star wasting disease,
Yeah.
and that's what we're going to look at today in this deep dive. We're
Right.
really going to try to understand what's going on, and
Yeah.
we've got a great source for this. We've got an actual recording of a lab meeting.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to be like flies on the wall
Cool.
hearing these scientists talk about this cutting-edge research.
Awesome.
So let's just jump right in.
Okay.
So it feels almost like a marine detective story.
Yeah.
This disease has been just decimating sea star populations along the whole North American West Coast since 2013.
Yeah, and they still don't know exactly what causes it.
Right. And it's a big deal, right? We're not
Exactly.
just talking about, losing these amazing creatures,
Right.
but like a domino effect
Yeah.
that could really mess up whole ecosystems.
Absolutely. Sea stars are a keystone predator. So really important for keeping things balanced in the environment. And when they decline, it can impact everything from kelp forests to just the whole delicate balance of, all the different species.
So in this lab meeting, the researchers were focusing on three specific types of sea stars. The sunflower star, which unfortunately is super susceptible to this disease, Pisaster gracilis, shows some resistance. But
Somebody.
then the leather star, which seems to be basically invincible to it.
Totally resistant.
So they want to figure out, why are some species so much better at handling this than others?
Makes sense.
So they designed this really cool experiment where they expose all three of these species to the disease
Oh, wow.
in a controlled lab setting, and then they just watch them for 60 days.
Interesting.
And what they saw was just incredible, like these really stark differences. The leather stars just like shrugged it off. Some of the pisasters actually recovered, but all of the sunflower stars died.
That's so sad.
I know it's really sad, but it seems like it's really pointing to some, genetic factors here.
Definitely.
Something in their genes is making them more or less vulnerable.
Totally.
So the researchers didn't just look at symptoms, they actually dove into their genetic code
Interesting.
using this technique called RNA sequencing.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard of this?
I have.
It basically gives you like a snapshot of which genes are actively working to fight off the disease. And by comparing these snapshots across the three different species, they're hoping to find those genetic
The
heroes,
heroes.
the genes that might hold the key to resistance.
That would be amazing.
So it's like they're trying to crack the code of sea star immunity.
Exactly. And if they can figure that out, think about the possibilities. You could identify the resistant sea stars and then use that to guide conservation efforts, like breeding programs.
Wow, so we could actually breed these like super sea stars
Maybe.
that are equipped to deal with this.
That's the hope.
That's amazing. So there's this other tool that they talked about called environmental DNA
eDNA.
or eDNA, which is basically,
What's like a genetic fingerprint that organisms leave behind in the water?
wait, so you're telling me we could test for this disease without even touching a sea star?
You just analyze water sample
How does that even work?
by looking for the DNA of the pathogen.
Oh.
Even if there aren't any visible signs of the disease.
So it's an early warning system.
Exactly.
That's amazing. So this research is not just about, understanding the disease itself, but it's about actually developing tools to fight back. So what else are they working on?
One of the challenges they talked about was, when you're analyzing gene expression across different species, it's not always straightforward.
Yeah, I can imagine.
For some of these sea stars, the standard databases, they're incomplete, like trying to solve a puzzle with missing pieces.
Oh, so how do they even begin to compare the genetic makeup of all these different
Well,
species?
for the sunflower star, they actually had to get really creative and piece together a reference from scratch, gathering information from a bunch of different
So
sources.
they're really going above and beyond, it sounds like it. What kind of impact could this research have beyond just sea stars?
I think that's what's so exciting about it. What they learn about disease resistance in these creatures could help protect other marine species that are facing similar threats. It's like unlocking the secrets of marine immunity.
That's a big deal.
It is.
It really is. It's opening a door to a whole new world of possibilities for marine conservation.
It is.
It makes you wonder, like, what other secrets are out there
Right.
hidden in the ocean? This deep dive is already blowing my mind, and we're just getting
I
started.
know, right?
What else did these researchers uncover in their lab meeting?
So one of the things they talked about was like a limitation with RNA sequencing.
Okay.
You know, it's like a snapshot in time.
Right.
It's just one frame from a movie.
Oh, so we're
Yeah.
missing the whole story of how these genes are changing as the disease progresses.
Exactly. It would be ideal to analyze samples
Yeah.
from multiple time points.
Right.
You know, you want to track how things shift
Right.
as the disease takes hold.
Yeah.
But that's a huge logistical challenge,
Yeah, I can imagine.
especially with three different species.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot to juggle.
So they had to prioritize. You know, they
Yeah.
focused on this one critical point.
Yeah.
But it does raise the question of like,
Yeah.
how do you actually capture those dynamic changes over time?
Right. Like, is there a way to hit record
Right?
on those genetic changes
Yeah.
and see the whole movie?
Well, there are some really cool
All
technologies
right. Okay.
that are trying to do that,
Oh, wow.
like single cell RNA sequencing,
Yeah.
which is like
Yeah.
zooming in on a single actor in a movie
Wow.
and seeing how their performance changes.
That's incredible. What kind of detail could that provide?
I mean, you could track how individual cells
Yeah.
respond to the pathogen over time,
Wow.
pinpoint exactly when and where
Right.
things start to go wrong.
That's really powerful.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
But are there any limitations with that technique?
Of course, new technologies
Right.
always have challenges.
Yeah.
Single cell RNA sequencing is definitely more complex
Okay.
and more expensive
Right.
than traditional methods.
Makes sense.
But, you know, as the technology improves
Yeah.
and the cost comes down, we'll probably see this being used more and more
Yeah.
to solve these mysteries.
It's exciting to think about all the possibilities.
It is.
The more we understand these systems,
Right.
the better we can protect them.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it's not all about, you know,
Yeah.
the fancy new techniques.
Okay.
The researchers also talked about something more fundamental,
Okay.
the proteins involved.
Okay. Remind me,
Yeah.
how do proteins fit into the whole
Right.
gene expression thing?
So RNA sequencing tells you which genes are being read.
Okay.
It's like the blueprint, but it doesn't show you the actual construction, the
Right.
proteins that get built.
So just because a gene is expressed
Right.
doesn't mean the protein is actually there
Oh,
or
sure.
working properly.
Right. And the researchers pointed this out. They
Right.
said,
Yeah.
you know, we need to incorporate proteomics,
Okay.
which is the study of proteins,
Okay.
to really get the full picture.
That makes sense. It's like having the blueprint of a house,
Yeah.
but then you actually need to go inside and
Right.
see how the rooms are furnished,
Totally.
see how people are using the
Yeah, you
space.
need both perspectives,
Right.
and this could help them identify proteins that are crucial to the disease,
Okay.
which could lead to new
Yeah.
diagnostic tools or even treatments.
Oh,
So
wow.
it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's amazing. So they also talked about captive breeding programs.
Yeah, they said those could be really crucial for
Okay.
conserving the vulnerable populations.
Right.
You know, imagine
Yeah.
breeding these sea stars in a safe environment,
Okay.
away from the disease.
Right, and then releasing them back into the wild.
Exactly, to boost those dwindling numbers.
Yeah, it's like creating a safe haven for them.
It is.
A chance to rebuild.
Yeah, and the RNA sequencing data can help with that.
How so?
Because once they pinpoint those genes
Yeah.
that are responsible for resistance,
Huh.
they can selectively breed
Oh, wait.
individuals.
So we're talking about bolstering their natural defenses.
Yeah, giving them a fighting chance.
It's like creating sea star superheroes
Kind of.
with these genetic tools to survive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But of course, captive breeding programs
Right.
have their own challenges,
What kind of challenges?
like maintaining genetic diversity.
Okay.
You don't want a population of clones
Right.
that are vulnerable to other things.
Makes sense.
So that's where the RNA sequencing comes in again.
Okay.
It can help them identify individuals with a range of genetic variations
Okay.
to make sure that the populations are resilient.
So it's like this one research project
Right.
has the potential to impact sea star conservation on so many levels,
It does.
from genetics
Yeah.
to breeding programs to protecting entire ecosystems.
Exactly. And the researchers talked about,
Yeah.
you know, they recognize that responsibility.
Okay.
And they had a really interesting discussion about the ethical implications.
What kind of ethical questions came up?
Well, like with selective breeding,
Yeah.
they were wrestling with the question of
Yeah.
should we even be doing this?
Right.
Should we be manipulating the gene pool?
Yeah. Are we playing?
Kind of. And if so, how do we do it responsibly?
Right. Without causing unintended consequences.
Exactly. It's a really important conversation to have.
Yeah, for sure.
To make sure our efforts are both effective
right.
and ethical.
Right. So speaking of ethics,
yeah.
they also brought up the idea
uh-huh.
of sharing their data publicly.
They were really big on open science.
Okay.
You know, they believe
yeah.
that their findings should be accessible to everyone.
Okay.
Imagine this global network of scientists
yeah.
all working together to solve this.
That's a powerful vision.
It is.
But are there any risks with sharing such sensitive genetic information?
Well, you know, data privacy and security
yeah.
are always a top priority.
Right.
There are strict protocols for sharing this responsibly,
right.
making sure it's de-identified
uh-huh.
and protected.
So it's a balancing act.
It is.
Between open science
yeah.
and protecting sensitive information.
Exactly. This one research project
yeah.
has sparked so many conversations.
It really has. It's amazing.
From genetics to ethics.
Yeah.
To the global scientific community.
And it really highlights how interconnected science is.
It does.
And the power of collaboration.
Yeah. But it also emphasizes the importance of recognizing limitations.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
the researchers were upfront about that.
What kind of limitations did they acknowledge?
Well, for one,
yeah.
their RNA sequencing data
uh-huh.
was just from that single time point.
Right, day 12 yeah. of the experiment.
Exactly. They would have liked to have more.
Right.
But as we talked about,
yeah.
there were those logistical hurdles.
Yeah, for sure.
So they did the best they could
right.
with the resources they had.
Okay, what else?
They also pointed out that RNA sequencing.
Yeah.
focuses on gene expression.
Right.
But it doesn't tell us everything
okay.
about the proteins that are produced.
So like we might see the blueprint,
right.
but we don't know the exact material
yes.
or the final construction.
That's a great way to put it.
So they recognize that incorporating proteomics
yeah.
could give them a more complete picture.
Right.
It's fascinating how these scientists
it is.
Are pushing the boundaries,
yeah.
but also recognizing the limitations
yeah.
of current methods.
It really speaks to their integrity.
It does.
You know,
and their
commitment to rigorous research.
So it also highlights
right.
the iterative nature of science.
It does.
This is just one piece
right.
of a much larger puzzle.
Exactly.
Paving the way for future research.
So true. What other avenues of research
yeah.
did they talk about?
Well, they were really interested in yeah, the role of non-coding RNAs.
Oh, yeah. These are interesting.
So these are like...
They're like the managers of the
yeah.
cell.
Okay.
Controlling the flow of information.
Okay. So how could those be involved
yeah.
in the disease process?
Well, one theory is that the pathogen might be hijacking them, disrupting the cell's normal function.
So it's like the pathogens hacking into
yeah.
the C-STARS communication system.
That's a good analogy.
And just causing chaos.
Exactly. They want to explore this further.
Okay.
Using specific techniques.
Yeah, it seems like they're leaving no stone unturned.
They're not.
In this quest to understand this disease.
And that dedication gives me hope.
It does.
That they'll find solutions.
So they also talked about
right.
developing diagnostic tools.
They mentioned vital markers.
Okay.
That could be red flags.
So are they looking for specific molecular signatures?
Yeah, like a genetic fingerprint.
That could tell if a C-star is infected.
Even without symptoms.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to test them in the wild.
Right.
Or in those captive breeding programs.
Exactly. You could intervene early.
Wow.
So it's really promising.
So this is not just about understanding the disease.
No.
It's about developing tools
right.
to fight back.
What else did they discuss? Well, they were really keen.
Yeah.
On using their findings to inform conservation strategies.
In the wild.
Yeah, translating their lab work
right.
into real-world action.
So tackling the root causes.
Right.
Creating a healthier environment
exactly.
where these sea stars can actually thrive.
They talked about restoring habitats.
Okay.
Reducing pollution.
Right.
Mitigating climate change.
Yeah. Giving these sea stars a fighting chance.
Yeah. It's a holistic approach.
It is.
It recognizes yeah. how interconnected everything is.
It's inspiring to see them.
It is.
Thinking on such a broad scale.
Yeah.
Connecting their research wow. to this bigger picture.
What else did they share?
About protecting sea stars.
Oh, they mentioned using eDNA.
Oh, yeah. Environmental DNA.
Yeah. As a non-invasive way to monitor the disease.
Okay. Remind me. How does that work again?
It's like a genetic fingerprint.
Okay.
That organisms leave behind
mm-hmm.
in their environment.
Right.
So in this case, you can analyze water samples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
and find the pathogen's DNA.
Wow.
Even without seeing six sea stars.
So it's like a detective using DNA.
Right.
To solve a crime.
Totally.
Even without an eyewitness.
This technique could be really powerful.
Yeah.
For tracking the disease.
Yeah.
Identifying hotspots.
Right.
Guiding conservation efforts.
It sounds like a powerful weapon.
It does.
In the fight against this disease.
What other approaches do they talk about?
Well, they also talked about the potential of citizen science.
Oh, cool.
You know, imagine this network of volunteers all along the coast train to spot sick sea stars.
Right, and report their observations.
Well, that's incredible.
Yeah.
But how do you ensure
right.
accuracy and reliability?
That's a good question.
When you have so many people involved.
Well, they emphasized
yeah.
the importance of having clear protocols,
okay.
training materials, easy to use apps
right.
for submitting their data.
Yeah. It's about empowering people.
It is.
With the knowledge and
yeah.
the tools.
To be part of the solution.
Yeah. It's inspiring.
It is.
To see these scientists not just working in the lab.
Right.
But reaching out to communities.
It's really a collaborative approach.
Yeah. It seems like they're leaving no stone unturned.
They are.
In their quest to protect these amazing creatures.
And that dedication gives me hope.
Didn't that?
For the future of sea stars in our oceans.
It's amazing how much they covered in just one meeting.
I know, right?
It really shows how complex this is.
Yeah.
And how much work it takes to tackle it.
Absolutely.
So did they touch on anything else?
They did.
Okay.
They were really interested in the potential of AI.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay. How would that even help?
Well, imagine using AI.
Yeah.
To analyze all this data.
Okay.
Like sea star observations, environmental data.
Yeah.
Genetic information.
Okay.
It could identify patterns. That we might miss,
okay.
predict outbreaks,
oh.
even help guide strategies.
So it's like having a supercomputer as
yeah.
a partner in conservation.
It's like a superpower
yeah.
for understanding and protecting these animals.
So amidst all this high-tech stuff,
right.
did they talk about any simpler approaches?
They did.
Okay.
To boosting sea star immunity.
Like what?
They actually explored probiotics.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So those are like the good bacteria that can help with health.
Exactly.
So you're saying you could introduce these good bacteria.
Potentially, yeah.
Through the sea stars.
Either in their environment.
Okay.
Or their diet.
And that could make their immune system stronger.
That's the idea.
It's a cool concept.
It is. It's still early days.
Right.
But it's promising.
Yeah. Did they talk about any other
yeah.
unconventional approaches?
They touched on gene editing.
Oh, wow, like CRISPR.
Exactly.
So could you theoretically use that to introduce those resistance genes?
It's possible, yeah.
In vulnerable populations?
Like giving them a genetic boost.
It's like genetic engineering for sea stars.
Yeah, but they were cautious.
Okay.
You know, yeah. about the ethics of it.
Right, messing with nature.
It's a powerful tool.
Yeah.
That needs to be used responsibly.
It's good that they're thinking about that.
Yeah, for sure.
So amidst all these potential solutions,
right.
they also acknowledged limitations.
They did.
It's good to hear that honesty.
I think it shows their integrity.
It does.
You yeah. know, they're not overstating their findings.
No.
They recognize that this is just one piece of the puzzle.
It is a complex puzzle.
And they emphasize transparency.
Okay.
You know, open communication.
Yeah.
Acknowledging what they don't know.
Right.
So that others can build on their work.
It's really that collaborative spirit
they.
That gives me hope.
Me too.
That we'll figure this out
yeah.
and protect these creatures.
So they also talked about funding.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Which is so important.
Yeah, scientific progress depends on money.
It does.
To make these ideas happen.
They talked about diversifying funding sources.
Okay.
Government agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Private foundations.
Yeah.
Even crowdfunding.
Wow. They're really thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
So it's not just the research.
Right.
It's finding ways to support it.
To keep it going.
It's inspiring.
It is.
To see their dedication.
Yeah.
So did they have any concerns?
Well, they did acknowledge the challenges, but they were hopeful.
Okay.
You know, they were inspired by the resilience of nature.
That's good to hear.
And by human ingenuity.
It's that optimism
yeah.
that's contagious.
What a great group of people.
They are.
Their work is a reminder
yeah.
that even with all the problems facing the ocean,
right.
there's still hope.
And that we can make a difference.
By working together.
This deep dive has been incredible.
It has.
We've gone from the depths of the ocean
right.
to the cutting edge of genetics.
And back again.
And back again. I'm feeling really inspired.
Me too.
I hope our listeners are too.
I hope so.
It's a reminder that even the smallest creatures
yeah.
can play such a big role.
They do.
In the balance of our planet.
And that their fate mm-hmm. is linked to ours.
If you want to learn more
yeah.
about sea star wasting disease.
Or get involved.
There are tons of resources online.
Definitely.
You can find links on our website.
And remember,
yeah.
every action counts.
It does.
Whether it's reducing plastic.
Right.
Supporting sustainable seafood.
Yeah.
Or just spreading the word.
Absolutely.
We can all make a difference.
Until our next deep dive.
Yeah.
Keep exploring.
Keep learning.
And keep caring about our amazing ocean.
It's our only one.